We're continuing our class on Gan Emunah, Garden of Faith, Arish Shalom Arish. We're learning last week about the difficult trait of Nitzachon, the desire to win, to never be wrong. And we learned that a person with this issue, which is all of us, more or less, doesn't want to admit they're wrong, and therefore can't change and can't grow. In order for us to grow, we need to change. In order for us to change, we need to admit there's something that needs changing. Don't admit there's something that needs changing, we can't change. Stop. So we need to admit there are things in my life that need changing. I'm not perfect. I don't do everything right. I have to admit that I get things wrong. That goes against the trait of Nitzachon that you want to win. Rav Arash writes, how do we get out of this? Kamuvan, Adam chayav latzet mida razu. Therefore, it's clear that a person needs to get out of this bad mida. And he can do this if he stops to consider a little bit. And he looks and sees his lowliness, his nothingness. And he thinks to himself, what am I after all? Just a man. I'm not God. I'm just a person, flesh and blood, who is limited, that really doesn't know so much, not about myself, and all the more so not about the rest of the creation, which is filled with an infinite amount of wonders and amazing things and questions. A creation which is found in it wisdom, deep wisdom without end. Right? So a person, how do we get out of this position where we think we know everything and we think that we don't need to change? By considering the fact that actually we don't know everything. We have to remind ourselves that we're not God. We're not all seeing, all knowing. We think we know everything. We have a Yetzirah that says, you know everything you need to know. You understand everything very well. You understand yourself, you understand the world, you understand people. You're good. We have to undo that error of thinking. How do we do that? By looking at the world, considering the greatness of the creation and our position relative to that. Relative to the creation, we know nothing of the wonders of the amazingness of the creation. The fact that we say that we don't know a lot is actually lashon ha'ata, an understatement. Because if we're truthful, we should admit that actually we don't know anything. We don't know, we don't understand at all what is going on with ourselves. We don't know where we came from, we don't know where we're going, and we don't know anything about the future. And not only the distant future, we don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute's time. We simply don't know. And there's no way in which to protect ourselves from the difficulties which time and nature, etc., bring. What are we saying? We're saying that really a person has to admit the truth that we don't know anything. We know a very, very limited amount. And even the things that we think we know, we really don't know. We don't know ourselves. if a person's really truthful, and he says to himself, "Who am I?" What looks at himself, he knows that he doesn't understand himself. Right? Rabbeinu told us that we're all crazy. And a person who hasn't realized that yet doesn't know himself. Because we are all crazy. We mamash, we respond emotionally in ways which are just not logical. They're not sensical. They can't be predicted. We're up and down like a yo-yo. One moment we're feeling good, the next minute we're feeling sad and depressed. With no explanation, because we still haven't worked out what makes ourselves tick yet, never mind anyone else. So we don't know ourselves, never mind other people. All the more so we don't know other people if we don't even know ourselves. So really we don't know anything. If we don't know ourselves, and we don't know how to understand other people, then, and we don't know how to understand the creation, because it's Hashem's creation, not ours. So actually, what do we know? At the end of the day, very, very little. We can repeat stuff. We can retain bits of information and then regurgitate it. But it doesn't mean that we actually know stuff. It just means that we have a memory that works to a certain extent. Well, with a little bit of understanding, we can make links between A and B and come up with C. But at the end of the day, it's good for us to realize that we know very little. Right? Yes?
I had a 46, 7 years ago, I had a calculus professor that had a great visual that always stuck with me. He said that if you have a circle, and if the area inside the circle represents what you know, and the area and the circumference around the circle represents what you don't know, then as that circle gets bigger, in other words, what you know increases, but you see, therefore, then what you don't know increases. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Right. I saw another, you just reminded me of a similar thing that I saw. Someone drew a circle like this. He says, how much do you, of the available knowledge in the world do you think you know? Of what the knowledge that there is to know, how much percentage?
What was it? The Chabad Chaim said it was like he learned Torah like a dog lapping from the ocean.
Right.
The Chabad Chaim. So if the Chabad Chaim learned enough Torah like a dog lapping from the ocean.
Right.
How much would we know?
Right. So in reality, right, the amount of knowledge, like you can't even draw the sliver of what we actually know or we think we know. Compared to, we just don't know. And to think that we do know, within our Daladamus, we think we know. But even that is not. And that's really good, to know that you don't know. But the thing that someone was showing me was that this, what was he saying? He was saying, this is what we know. This is the way he put it. This is what we don't know. Right? And he said, all the rest, by the majority, say this is 1% of what we know. This is what we don't know, 10%. Right? But all this rest of it, this is what we don't even know that we don't know. Right? There's so much that we have no, we don't even know that we don't know it. Right, we know this is what we know, and this is like stuff that we know that we don't know. I don't know Chinese, I don't know how to, right, to make a cake. Right, the stuff that I don't know, but all the rest, I'm not even, at least obviously very much exaggerated. So it's really good to know that we don't know. Because then we stop relying on ourselves and thinking that we do know. And we can let ourselves... We can then let ourselves rely on Hashem. Because the more I think I know, the less inclined I am to switch off my own amazing abilities, my own amazing knowledge. Who would want to switch off this genius? right? Why would I want to forgo this genius in my head, right? But if I realize it's not really a genius, it's just someone who thinks he knows it, but it's really not.
There was a book written.
Yes.
By, I forget who. It was called Future Shock.
Okay.
About the incredibly rapid change, the exponential change in technology.
Okay.
In the last 50 years, take computing. We've gone from computers the size of whole rooms to the same capability of a postage stamp.
Right.
And that's exponential. And it's just keep on going. And the knowledge that's being put into that is growing and growing and growing to a point where we now have robotics that are replacing people. And the knowledge of that is expanding and expanding and expanding. And we're just realizing that knowledge is exponential.
Right. But what I'm talking about is not even that knowledge. That knowledge is very limited. There's a, I don't know who said it. It was one of the, like, from the Chachamim, like Chazal said somewhere, I think. I don't know, someone said that the as vast and complicated and as complex as the world is, the universe, the entire world with all of its creation is on the outside, we are at least as vast and as complicated on the inside.
Exactly, that's the point.
Right, forget it. So, right, so we're not even beginning, we're scratching the surface, where like a person who's working on themselves starts to see how much there is going on inside, which is where the real work is. Hashem's not very interested, so to speak, in whether or not we manage to build a new robot that can clean the floor, right? But he is far more interested in whether we use that same amount of effort to look inside and start working on myself. Right? So that's where we can start to look, and that's what people are ignoring. Right? They're looking externally and making all these wonderful new gadgets, but what's going on in the inside is something that we need to think about. Right, Ikar. What was the Pikua?
What was the Pikua, yes.
The whole film.
Do we know what happened?
The number one bus that goes to the condo. Attack on the bus, the baby was injured.
Oh, we should hear the sorts of it. The Ikar Shasarishi Yobin in your Dealamet. Therefore, the main thing is the person needs to do hit bonunut. Hit bonunut? Like hit bodidut. Hit bonunut. Hit two people injured.
Two people in.
Two people in.
One in the tunnel of the Oshkashim and one in the hotel.
Okay. Should hear good news. So a person needs to consider, hiponenen is considering, is to sit and consider. Hitbonen do it is to actually to pray, but hitbonen means just to sit and ponder.
Like meditate?
No, like to think. So like go through the mental mechanics as opposed to just like speaking and Hashem and help, right? To actually, right? Consider. To do consider. That's why a person needs to consider the fact that he can't help himself or save himself. And all the more so, he cannot help his children or his family members, etc. We're not in a position to help ourselves, never mind anyone else. We can give advice, which is always good. But really, we're not in charge. Which, when a person kind of realizes that he's very limited. So, the initial reaction is it's very scary. Well, I can't do anything. But actually, it's very liberating. Because it means that I'm no longer responsible, so to speak. I don't no longer take it onto my shoulders as to the outcome and the results of what's going on.
Take care.
Pray for me.
Right? As a person who's only a little bit sick, or he's got a pain in a certain limb, and all the more so if he's has a serious illness, immediately he loses all of his avir, his air. I mean, he loses, and his gavan and his pride. He loses all of his arrogance and pride, and think that he thinks that he's in control of his life. He feels like he's got no strength at all, and he can be filled with fear and worry. In short, what is a person? What is he proud of himself? Because every day he's simply one step closer to the grave. What's he saying? Rav Arash here is trying to do a job on us. He's trying to knock us down for our own good. Right? We need to come off this pedestal of arrogance that we think we know what's going on, that we think we're in control, and that we think that we can run our lives ourselves when it's not true. How does he do that? By showing us, first of all, that we know nothing. We're not in control of anything. And we can see this because even a small illness is enough to completely knock us out. And we see that we're useless. And it's really good for us to know that.
How does this reconcile with the concept of Ishtazu said? You have to do whatever you, even though you're not in control of anything, you have to do what you can, at least from what we know about whatever the issue is.
Okay, so for a start, the whole question of Hishtadlut is a very difficult one. There's a question as to how much we hold by Hishtadlut, and what does Hishtadlut mean? I understand, and you can, there are different opinions, but I understand that Breslov holds that Hishtadlut means prayer. It doesn't mean anything else, because there is no other Hishtadlut. Any other hishtadlut apart from prayer is in the category of kochi ba'otzem yadi. That said,
what does that mean?
Well, kochi, it means the strength and power of my right hand, meaning I think I'm doing it, which is the whole purpose of not. But it's the antithesis of what we're meant to be doing. Hishtadlut is the yetzahara in that context. Right, Hishtadlus in that context is a bad thing, right? Because it goes against Emunah, goes against Hashem. I have to do it myself, and if I do it myself, then I think I'm doing it myself, right? And that is very damaging, etc., etc. However, against that is the fact that a person needs to live in the real world and hold at the position, know where he's holding, and know that we have to do the Hishtadlut which is appropriate for where we're holding. Meaning the truth is, there's no such thing as Hishtadlut. In truth, everything is done by Hashem. However, I'm not living in that place. You're right, it's real. There is Einon Milvado, there's only Hashem. Hashem is breathing me, feeding me, clothing, everything. But I'm not holding it at that place. And therefore I have to live according to where I'm really holding. Where I'm really holding is, I need to go out and get a job. Where I'm really holding is, I need to go out and buy some milk because it's run out. Right, and what's the test? The test is, am I happy? I've heard Rav Arash say, right? Rav Arash says that the Hishtadlut level a person needs to do is how much they can do and still be happy. Meaning, if I don't do this, am I going to be sad and upset and depressed if it doesn't go my way? Right, a person who knows that Hashem brings my parnasa. Hashem brings me my parnasa, I don't need to work. It's very nice, it's true. But can I hold on to that? If I don't do anything, and I sit at home and say, Hashem's bringing my parnasa, what's going to happen? Can I live with the consequences until Hashem tests me and makes me clear that I'm actually holding at that level? Or am I going to break? Probably going to break very soon because I'm not really at that level. Right? And for sure Hashem will bring me my parnasa, but I'm going to go through through a lot of difficulties before someone knocks on the door with a check, right? And I, if I can't stand up in that, then I need to go to work and get a job. I need to do my hishtadlut. But the truth is, I have to try and remember that even though I need to go out and do my hishtadlut at my level, that's not the truth. Meaning, there is a higher truth, which is that I don't need to be doing this at all. And, that, and I'd like to get there, right? That is the truth. And right now, I'm not there. But Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll get there. I know that's the truth. And I keep hold of that, right? I don't deny it, right? It's like someone who says, right, let's take something less controversial, right? Tikkun Chatzot. It's really good to do Tikkun Chatzot, but I just can't do it. I'm not there yet. But I know it's really good, and I know it's a big mitzvah. I know it, if I could do it, it would be really good. And I say that, but I don't do it. But I know that it's a good thing. I don't go around saying, yeah, it's not true, it's nonsense. You don't have to do that Tikkun Chatzot rubbish, right? That's just for, I know, for weirdos and for Hasidim and for whatever, right? And you don't have to do it, it's nonsense. Right, I don't go against it just because I can't get there. I say that it is true, 100%, I'm not there yet. I know it's true, but I know where I'm holding, which is also good because I'm being humble, I'm realizing that I'm not there yet. But I'm not denying the truth on the basis of that. So, I can't remember the origin of the question now, but in terms of the hishtadlut, I have to do my stuff. But to know that I'd like to inch closer and closer to a place where I don't, where I can do less and less. Yeah.
Now, for tshuva, more we have to admit to our responsibility and own up to our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yet at the same time, I mean, the bigger the mistake, then this bridge between the gap of understanding Hashem did and does everything, the bigger the mistake, the more painful the mistake, then you have to admit your responsibility and guilt. How do you bridge, I'm saying, how do you, you know, you have some big issues, and without falling into sadness,
okay,
to admit you're responsible and guilty, yet at the same time admit Hashem does it, it becomes a narrow bridge.
So let me explain. There's a few ways of answering this, but I had a very nice explanation from Rabbi Ofer Erez. It said like this, if you look in Torah Vav, Likutei Moran, he talks about teshuva. Talks about over there, Rabbeinu says that a person needs to make teshuva on their teshuva. He needs to make teshuva and then he needs to make teshuva on their teshuva. So what does he mean by that? So there's two explanations. One's an explanation which is given over there, which says that every time a person makes teshuva, he now has a higher understanding of Hashem, and so he needs to go back and make teshuva because he now got a greater understanding of Hashem and a greater understanding of what he did. But he says, that's not the only way of understanding it. Okay, I'm just giving brackets. The second way is to answer your question, which is that when a person does something wrong, he makes teshuva, and he regrets doing it. He says, Hashem, I'm sorry that I messed up. I shouldn't have done it. I don't want to do it again. Please help me not to do it again. It's normal teshuva. He says, then there's a second level of teshuva. Teshuva on teshuva. He said, that second level is when a person realizes that actually it wasn't him at all. When he realizes it wasn't him at all doing it, and Hashem did everything, that's his second teshuva. And he says teshuva to Hashem that he thought it was him. I do teshuva on the fact that I regretted, I'm really sorry, I thought it was me. And that's a second level of teshuva. That's what it means teshuva on teshuva. Because the real level, like this, is very similar to what we're saying. There's a first level which is, I'm blaming myself, because that's why I'm holding. I messed up. But there's a second higher level which I'll get to, Be'ezrat Hashem, which is that I'll realize that even when I messed up, it wasn't me messing up. It was all Hashem. Hashem was doing it all for my own good, and he made me fall, and it was all for my best. And when I realize that, I make teshuva again on the fact that when I made teshuva originally, I was in the level of arrogance. It's all me. It's all cocky about semyadi. I messed up. I succeed. I fail. I do everything. I'm in control, which is also nonsense. But to get to that level is a higher level. So where we're holding, we have to do teshuva, the normal level of teshuva, which is, I shouldn't have eaten the cheeseburger. I'm sorry, Hashem, I ate the cheeseburger. Please help me not eat cheeseburgers again. But then afterwards, the second level is, I need to eat the cheeseburger, you ate the cheeseburger. You made me eat the cheeseburger, Hashem. And I'm sorry that I thought it was me. That's so when a person makes a mistake, those two things exist. They're true. Depends where I'm really holding what I'm really believing. If I believe that I made a mistake, so I need to do shuvah on the mistake that I made. But I should know that the truth within the truth is that I didn't make a mistake at all. Hashem doesn't do any... Hashem was doing it, and Hashem doesn't make any mistakes. It was good, it was my best. And I'm sad that it had to happen. I know it wasn't me. I'm sad that you had to do that, Hashem. I'm sad, Hashem, that you had to make me suffer like that. Make me carry out that sin. But it was for my own good. I'm actually happy now that I did that, because otherwise I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't now be in the place I am. I would never be as close to you as I am now. Only because I fell. Only from that falling that I am who I am now. Without that falling, I'd still be on the beach surfing and doing all the other nonsense I was doing, and I wouldn't be close to you at all. So I needed that fall to get me to here. When I see that, then I start praising Hashem and say, thank you very much, Hashem. Without that fall, I won't be sitting here learning Gan Emuna. I'd be, you know, watching movies or whatever. I'd be doing something else. Halavai, just watching movies, right? So I'm thanking Hashem for the fall. The fall no longer turns into, oh, I can't believe, right? It turns into, Avash calls it, making teshuva from simcha. The essence of making teshuva, he says, is making teshuva from simcha, from a place of simcha, which means I'm still making teshuva, but from a different place now, from a place of simcha, not from a place of sadness, than a place of upset and regret and sorry and feeling down. Right? That's one side of teshuva. Teshuva from Baruch Hashem that I'm here. You're right, I shouldn't have, I had to go through all that. So I'm, to make teshuva out of simcha. It's not an easy thing. I still haven't kind of grasped exactly what it means. I'm just relaying the words.
Because the bigger the issue in life, I mean, it's the small. The more painful, the more, but that also has the more opportunity for growth.
But the more painful has more power in it, right? When you pull back an arrow, the further you pull it back, the further it goes. Right? Someone falls a little bit, right? You shiver guy, and by accident, on purpose, he went out and he ate a candy bar that wasn't badass, right? So he fell a little bit, but that's not going to spur him into major teshuva. However, if that same yeshiva boy goes and messes up big time, then he's going to spend however long, maybe the rest, right, depending on how big he falls, he's going to be very right chazak from then on. So the level of the fall, it doesn't necessarily is like in some respects is a greater thing. The greater a person falls, the higher he can go.
Right, but he has to still do that. The greater the fall, yes, the greater the responsibility. I'm saying,
it's pushing you up.
It's pushing you up to that second level.
Yeah, because and also I can see that without that fall, I wouldn't have got to this level. If I hadn't have fallen that low, I wouldn't have got to where I am now.
So it's thanking Hashem.
Yeah, it's like a springboard, right? Bounce, right. If I want to get higher, I'm going to... But I'm not going to bring it on myself, but if he brought it on me, then he knows best. Right. He knows that's why I knew it.
Yeah, because the thing has to come wholeheartedly.
I have to do his body to do it and think about exactly the benefit of all of that. What is the benefit of that? Right, I'm still upset about it. I'm still angry. What are the emotions I've got? I've got negative emotions about the whole thing. Right? And it's easy for me to focus on the negative emotions. But what's the positive that's come out of this? Why did you do it, Hashem? Hashem, you're only good, and you did that. So, what's the good? What's the good? When I start focusing on the good and I start seeing the good, then I can start thanking wholeheartedly, etc., etc. It's a progress.
So, right, so you're channeling that into a positive channel.
That's what he wants. He doesn't want me to be sitting there crying and moping and sadness. These are all negative Yetzirah forces. They're not. Hashem is not happy when he sees that. Hashem wants us to be happy. Remember in the story of the told one of the Sipori Maestri, I can't remember which one it's called, but the beginning of the story, the king crowns his son in his own lifetime. And he says to his son, I see in the stars that you're going to fall.
Right.
And if you're going to stay happy, I'm going to be very happy. And even if you're not going to be, I'm going to be, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you're very happy is even though you fell, you're still happy. I'm going to be very happy. Right? He wants us to be very happy even though we fall. And that's a very bizarre thing. We have this problem with how do I make teshuva? How can I make the teshuva more happy? But I said it's the highest level of teshuva when you make teshuva from being happy, not from being sad. It's very difficult for us to get there because our reaction is the opposite. God wants me to be very sad now and beat myself up for doing things wrong, right? But it's not the correct understanding.
Yeah. But also, I guess the yoga sort of thing, I guess maybe from, I don't know if this is correct from going to gratitude, but if you keep on having thoughts about something, it's not really, when is something really clean? So the question becomes a balance with
If I'm still thinking about it, right, I still haven't cleaned it up. If I'm still worried about it. But that maybe because I haven't cleaned it up the right way. Meaning, if I'm still upset about it, so it's still lingering, because every time I look at it, I go back into the old pattern of dealing with it. I messed up, I'm sorry, and never cleans it up. Shem wants me to come through the other side, which is, thank you Hashem for what you did. Hashem, you're amazing. Hashem, you're wonderful. You only do good. And I see that was really good for me. Thank you, Hashem. Right. But I can only get that. That's not a overnight thing. It's going to take time. I have to look at it, think about it, see why it was good, etc., etc. Tov. We'll finish that today. Thank you.